So this evening, we're going to explore this topic. I don't want to just share some information with you. I want us to think about it. Amen? So what we're going to do? Are we going to think? Yes? Can we do that? Yes? Yes. Okay. So death, you know, the topic of death and everything is the most misunderstood topic today. Many people are scared and they're not sure what happened. They're hopeless. And some people think their loved ones here or flying around or become a ghost. It's a mystery. And we go through our life and we don't even think about this topic. But I think it matters to what you believe. It matters a lot because what we believe about death impacts on how we live, the choices we make, and how we deal with grief. I mean, if somebody passed away and you're not sure of the answer, you're not sure where you're standing on it, it could be very confusing. And so whether you're young or old, you still have this to face this one day. I mean, we have taxes. We all got to do that. And guarantee is also death. And so let me see. I'm going to start off with a little bit something light. And even though we're so advanced today, we have technology and everything, such as, you know, Steve Jobs. This is some picture I found on the internet. I don't know if that's his real tombstone. But we're so advanced today, but we still haven't figured out what death is. Because people back in the past, they're trying to figure out what death is. Here's a survey in America, and it asks, is there life after death? 81% of the people believe in an afterlife of some sort. And 9%, not really sure. So, and 10%, there's no life form after death when one's died. And so, see, a lot of people, they do believe there is some sort of life form after death, and we're going to check that out today. And another survey question asks, where will you go after death? 64% of them will believe they go to heaven. 5% they'll claim as coming back in another life form. And 5%, we pretty much will say we would just cease to exist. We go into nothingness, and there's not really any point. But today, I want to show you a view that makes a lot of sense and is straight from the Bible. This is God's Word, and it's how we understand our life and how He has a plan for us. Amen? Okay. And so before we get into it, I want to share another picture of some humor picture about death when we go. Look at this kid right here. He saw Santa Claus's tombstone and he died. It's just a funny picture. So, you know, lighten up before we talk about it. And another one, Steve Jobs, slide to unlock. I mean, it's pretty weird, but these are cool pictures I found online that it was interesting when I was doing this presentation. Now, okay, when we really think about these views, there's some people, they think reincarnation, or you communicate with the dead, or you become a ghost, you fly around, or you're limbo and you're purgatory. We really think about it. I'm not putting down any persuasion or anything, but I want us to check. Look at the Egyptians. They really have a high interest on what happens when they die. So they bury their kings very highly. They bury them with riches and gold and treasure. And they're hoping to bring it back to, back to life, please. Bring it to gold and, you know, to their afterlife. And the Chinese, that one of the emperor, they bring their warriors with them. He's hoping to have the warrior with him after he dies. So these are people's point of view. Some scholars also want to check out many religious leaders. Buddhism, they have his tomb. Muhammad, they have his tomb still there. And Confucius, they have his tomb. When they look at Jesus' tomb, he's not there. That tells us something, that out of these different religious leaders or whatnot, they've faced death, but Jesus is not facing death. Amen? That tells us something different. That tells us that we want to check out this topic and how if Jesus conquered death, that means he could give us hope. Okay, amen? And so we're going to see. This is a sensitive topic. You know, we really want to really think what we believe. I was a Buddhist. My family's a Buddhist. And I really thought about it. Buddhism is more you are rebirth, reincarnated. Are some of you understand how that works? Buddhism. So you die, and you, if you did good, you reincarnate maybe to a human. If you didn't, you might be maybe an animal or something, lower life form. Now, the problem that I had to go to the Buddhist monk temple. I used to karate in the temple back then, so I know some kung fu. No more, I'm big now. Anyways, so back then, I went to the temple and asked the monk, if we are reincarnated over and over, okay, so when was the first creation of human? You know what I'm saying? Like, if we keep going back and back and back, but okay, I don't want to know what happens after. I want to know at the beginning, creation. A lot of monks can't answer that, you know? A lot of monks say, well, we've always been here, and we just kind of reincarnate over and over. And it's kind of weird. And secondly, if you are a Buddhist, like I was in my family, you have to be good, a good enough person. And the fact is, most of us, we are not always perfect in everything, and we sin. And in Buddhism, you could see that they burn money. If you really think of what you do, look at, you know, in Buddhism, you have to burn money, and it goes to your ancestors, right? And it goes to, you. Nowadays, they have fake iPhones you could burn to your ancestor. They have, you know, fake watches and everything, Rolex, and you could burn it, and it, in a sense, it travels to your ancestors. One day, I looked at one of these bills. What does it say right here? It's kind of scary. Can somebody read it? Hell bank note. Oh, what up there, huh? Hell bank note. What does that say? That scares me. You know how old I was? I was 12 years old, and I read this, I'm like, my uncle's, what? You know? Hell bank note. So we're sending money to my uncle or aunt. It's kind of weird, right? You really think about it. See, I was thinking this, and as a little kid, that's scary to know my uncle was good, or my aunt was really, she's a good heart person. Why would she be there? It makes no sense. And if we're reincarnate, shouldn't my uncle or aunt come back as another life form by now? Why are they still stuck in there? These why question, I challenge you, if you haven't asked about this topic, ask yourself these questions. They make, until you find out what makes the most sense, then keep asking. Because to me, my dad, I ask him, why are they in hell? That's not cool. You know, I thought they're a good person. They're in heaven. But no, they're in hell. And then my dad like, well, you know, we still just burn stuff and they receive it. It doesn't answer my question. I ask my grandparent, my you know, other older people. And they're like, why you do it? Well, we always do it. So we do it. Okay, you do it. I want a real answer. Amen? And we should do the same thing. Don't live your life and just go with tradition. Don't live your life and you don't know what you're doing. You have to know the answer, and then it makes sense and you live a fulfilling life. Now, communicating with the dead, it's not biblical. It's not what God intended. It's a paganism teaching. It's a Greek and New Age kind of mythology. Now, this is a sensitive topic. We don't want to share to this topic based on somebody said, you know, some preacher, somebody else might say. We want to base it on God's word, the Bible. Is that good? Okay. And now it's sensitive because there are loved ones that you have, and it affects all of us. And my goal of this presentation is to give you hope, is to give you a new sense of peace that makes a lot of meaning into your life. And we don't want to go based on a movie, a book, or a traditional view, or a religious view. Not even a preacher, another preacher. We want to base it on the book. And that's what we're going to do. And from my Bible, from God's word, it says, death is not the end. That's good news. Death is not, that's it, we're done. There's something else. Now, first question we want to start asking the Bible and asking God, well, we're going to use a lot of God's word, and not my word, but God's word. It says, how did we get here in the first place? So to ask, you know, okay, we're going to die, but how do we get in the first place? According to the Bible, Genesis 2, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living. Okay, let's review that. So the Lord God formed man out of what? Dust of the ground. So he got the dust, you know, right there. So he got the dust, and what did he do to the dust? He breathed into it. And then, what does it become? a living being, right? He breathed the breath of life. So that makes a lot. So let's get that math right there. It's very, 1 + 1 is that, okay? So dust of the ground plus breath of life becomes a, very simple. Okay. So that's the first question we ask. Now, let's ask a second question. What happens when a person dies? Okay, according to the Bible, then the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And that's what the Bible says. So the dust is separated and the spirit of God who gave it. Now imagine this, a light bulb. You see one of these? A light bulb only works when there is electricity. You have the housing for the light bulb. If I unplug the electricity, what happens to the light bulb? It dies, it shuts off, right? So same thing, light bulbs need electricity and the light bulb. Two of those together, they become light. And if one of them separated, cannot become light. Same thing with our body. So if we ask that, now that question was the spirit leaves from God. A lot of people get trouble with this. Ooh, the spirit, what does that mean? Well, glad you asked question 3. What is that spirit that returns to God at death? Okay. It says the spirit without the body without spirit is dead. Just like a light bulb without the electricity, it's dead. No more light. The body without the spirit is dead. Now in the Bible, this word spirit in the Old Testament is ruach. Can you say that with me? Ruach, the original translation. Ruach means breath. The New Testament, that spirit means breath. They call it, in the New Testament, they would call it pneuma. And what that means is just breath, it's just air. And so it's the same meaning and everything. So when you put it together, it becomes a living being. Now, another question people have, the reason I put it in these questions, because these are common questions people ask, what is a soul? Because people like thinking your soul flies around, your soul's a ghost, or, you know, some sort of soul. Read it again, that same verse, Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. In another Bible translation, living soul. Soul is just a person. Okay? We want to make that clear. The Bible is clear on that. Soul is a person. It's not another being with you on the side. So don't be scared. You don't have some extra part with you. That soul teaching is from a Greek kind of teaching that your body is separated and everything. Another example, very, you know, just want to put simple. A box, nails, wood, nails, you make a box. So you take it away, it ceases to be a box. Now, here's the equation. You have your body, but you don't have God's breath, his spirit. You die. Okay, I did my math wrong. Sorry. I didn't like math anyway, so that's reason. Okay, now, what is a soul? We asked that. We have that question. Now, is the soul immortal? You know, do souls die? Is it immortal? According to the Bible, the souls that sin, it shall die. Man is mortal, only God has immortality. So the soul that sins, it what? Each of us have committed sin in our life. We are guilty of death, right? So we are not immortal. Only God has immortality. And the other verse, it's, okay, that verse was 1 Timothy. So only God has immortality right there. So we don't have immortality. We are subject to death. But God alone has immortality. But God, you saw the tomb earlier. God has risen. He conquered death. That means we can have life eternally. Amen? We don't have to face the death that many people just, well, they die. We have another place we will go to. Now, question 6. Do good people go to heaven when they die? Because a lot of people think, you know, you go to heaven when you die. But it says, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Okay, so yes, that's partially of the answer, but only when the hour is coming is when. Now, let me break this down. In the Bible, there's a man after God's own heart. His name is David. He did good. And a lot of people think we die and we go straight to heaven right away. But we're going to read what the Bible say. The Bible says David, that he is both dead and buried in his tomb and is with us this day. For David did not ascend into the heavens. The Bible is very clear. Today's world, what happens? Michael Jackson died. He goes to heaven, right? Or, I don't know, another Tracy Larry, she dies. And people assume they go to heaven. The Bible says David, he's a holy man, and he doesn't even go to heaven. What makes us think that a lot of people get to go to heaven right away? And what I'm trying to point out, this is different, because a lot of people will teach you go to heaven. It sounds good. It sounds comforting. But it's not biblical. We want to be based on the Bible. Amen? We want to base what the Bible says. So this one, it says, but David did not go into the heavens. And I'm going to point out why it doesn't make sense. Why don't we go to heaven right away? Now, question 7. How does one know? How much does one know or comprehend after death? So, they are dead. They're not floating around. We're going to see what the Bible say. Okay, so, Ecclesiastes 9:5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead knows. So, living, we're living, I think, right? We're living. Don't die now. We're living. So, what do we know? We're gonna die. I'm sorry. We know that, right? The living know we're going to die. They will die, but the dead knows nothing. They have no memory. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred. I just want to point that out. Their hatred. You've seen those movies, The Grudge, you know, like you did something and somebody wants revenge on you. So, but they die, so you're haunted. The Bible makes it clear. There's no hatred, their love, their envy, they now perish. They have no memory. And that's where it makes a lot of sense. Because reincarnation says, at one life, you are known to be this person. The next life, you're the same person, but look different. And then the next life, you're the same person, but looks a lot different. Next life, you're a girl or a boy, you know? And you have these memories of the past. But according to the Bible, you don't have any memory. You don't have any remembrance of anything. So it makes a lot of sense to me. And nevermore will they have a share in anything done in the sun. So they don't continue their hunting or whatever they're doing. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Is that clear? That clear? I feel safe. You know, somebody owes you, you know, $5,000. Oh, I'm sorry, they're dead. They can't haunt you or something. I'm just saying. But that's the whole point. It makes a lot of sense, and we're safe. We're not haunted by anybody. No grudge, the movie, anything, okay? So I want to make that clear. So they're dead. They don't know anything. And they're going, see? Somebody said, I'm sick. You better take care of me. No, you're not. Come on. this person not going to haunt you, so don't worry about it. Just want to make that clear. So you feel safe? If you had somebody who has a grudge on you, you know, you're safe, okay? Look, again, now David, we were reading on the Bible, David was a holy man. If he went to heaven, what would you do first? You're like, oh, I'm done with this world. And then you see God. What would be the first thing you would want to say? Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm here. I'm heaven. Well, David and others who died, according to the Bible, the dead, don't praise the Lord. Wouldn't the first thing when you get to heaven, you would praise God? First thing like, oh, God, thank you. I'm in heaven. Like, you know, oh, I'm in a safe place and everything. But the dead don't praise the Lord. For in death, there is no remembrance of you, God. In the grave, who will give you thanks? When we're dead, we're not directly go to heaven. That's maybe new to some, but that's what the Bible say. That's not my word. That's what the Bible say. Amen? All right. Good. All right. Number 8 question. Well, but the dead, but can't the dead communicate with the living and are aware of what we're doing? So does your dead loved ones know that what you're doing, like, oh, you know, like they're watching you or anything? Job 14:12, it says, so man lies down and does not rise till when? The heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. The Bible call it sleep. Let's see another verse. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. They have nothing else to do. They're not floating around finishing up their work. Because some people think you die, but you didn't finish your task, you know? And so you're a ghost, and you're trying to finish that task that you need to do. There's nothing else to do. So Bible says asleep. And it's very interesting. Because if you had something going on, you die, you don't continue the job or whatever. Look in the next verse, please. It says, his spirit departs, he returns to earth, and that very day his plan perished. If you had a plan, you know, if I'm die, I'm going to haunt you or something. There's no plan, there's nothing. We saw it, okay? Okay. Now the Bible compares death as sleep over 70 times in the Bible. We're going to look at one example. This is a story of in John chapter 11, and it talks about Lazarus. Let's go back to that slide. It looks pretty cool. Look at this, you know. Here's Jesus. Here's his disciples. And they got news that his friend Lazarus is sick. And so, you like that picture, huh? And the Lord, and it says, Lord, the one you love is sick. His friend's Lazarus. He's sick? Okay, what do we do? All right. But really, let's read what it says. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now if you continue to read, I didn't want to put too much reading for you, but pretty much he died. And if you continue to verse 11 to 14, and after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Well, what did we learn? Sleep is another way of saying dead, yeah? Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better, right? So it's just like, oh, Pastor Vin was sleeping. Oh, he's sleeping. Just let him sleep, you know? He'll be fine. But Jesus is trying to tell him. However, Jesus spoke to his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest or sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, okay, what I'm trying to say is Lazarus is dead. So the Bible is very clear. This is one example out of 70 that when you are dead, the Bible and Jesus' word, God's word says we're asleep. Is that clear? Okay. So now I want to make that clear. So, okay, let's quiz time. So when you die, do you turn to a ghost to grudge and scare people? Do you die and you finish up your plan so that you could enter to heaven after you finish your plan? Like you're floating around. Okay. You go heaven right away. Oh, what? You can go heaven right away? Okay, good, good. And the Bible say when we die, we are what then? Okay. Okay. That's good. You guys are good. We're going to win Ben. We have more points than Ben. We answer those questions. Good job. Now, think about it. I want to think about this. Now, Lazarus. Next slide, please. So he calls Lazarus to, you know, wake up from his sleep. Or he resurrected Lazarus from death. Now, you think about it. Let's take the scenario. Lazarus died. If he goes to heaven right away. Oh, yes. Golden streets, looking nice, tree of life, oh, like angels everywhere. It's really good, right? And then Jesus come, Lazarus, come forth. Whoa! Why would he? Does that make sense? You go to a nice place and God, Jesus calls you back to this earth. It does not make sense. See, as far as Lazarus know, he was in his bed, he was sick, and he sleep. That's all he knows. In the Bible, it doesn't say, "Oh, I went to heaven. I saw these places." In some of the shows today, you know, they said, "Journey from heaven to back." You seen those shows? They interview people. How was it like? You died and your body ascended to heaven and you came back. How did you feel and what did you see? I see bright lights and stuff. The Bible say something else. People may make up a good documentary, you know. Discovery Channel, BBC, National Geographic, they make great documentaries, very convincing. But we should not be deceived. The Bible is true, amen? People's word, they can make it a lot of stuff. So people, you know, they feel, they go to heaven, they come back and tell a story. If Lazarus went to heaven and back, I think people like interviewing him all, you know, at that time. But the Bible, he didn't say nothing because it's to him. He sleep. Next thing, he wakes up. That's about it. So that makes sense. Another reason it doesn't make sense, the Bible say God will come back in the second coming to resurrect those who are dead. If we go to heaven, right, and when we come, and second coming, oh, we got to go back into our grave, and then he resurrect us. Does that make sense? If he comes back for resurrection, if we all got up there already, then why he don't need to come back, you know, to resurrect everybody. So you think about that. So that's why I asked this presentation. We think. Don't just live on based on people's what say. Job 14:12 says, "So man lieth down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake." So that verse I put again because they won't rise until the second coming, until the heavens are no more. Okay, I copy-paste wrong. It's okay. Let's go to the next slide. It's the same verse. Why I'm sharing with this with you? Satan has a deception. What was the first lie Satan said to Eve in the garden? If you guys remember. Sorry, I didn't hear anything. Louder. You shall not surely die. It's okay. Sure. Okay. See, in Genesis 3:2, the serpent said to woman, God say, if you eat this, you shall die. God's very clear. Serpent said, "Wow, you shall not die. You know, you live forever, etc., etc." So Satan's very deceptive. Says, "You're not going to die. Your soul might fly around. Your soul might go to heaven or here and there." God's very clear. You die, you're asleep. But Satan says, you know, that he'll make up all these things and we're going to believe it. And Revelation 16:4, it says, "For they are spirits of devil working miracles." In the end times, which I believe we live at this time, you're going to see a lot of mighty miracles. Maybe you see a loved one floating in your bedroom. You know, they know how many rings you had, or you know those tarot cards or whatever, right? They go, they predict. They're like, were you wearing a green shirt on May? How did you know? You know, or they predict. They tell you, Do you have a broken ankle? Nobody knows about that ankle. See, Satan can have certain powers and they work deceptive spirit. And I don't want us to be deceived. Because people are going to run to that. They're emotional. Sorry, one slide back. I want to capture Matthew 24. It says, for false Christs. False Christ means what? Are they false Buddhists? False Muhammads? False Allah, or you know, different things. False Christ, meaning within the Christian world, we want to be careful because Christianity, we have a lot of doctrines that you know are not biblical, but people accept it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders and deceive everybody, even possible the elect, those who are really into you know their theology and everything. They might be deceived. So I wanted to share this message so that we can be careful. In today's world, there's a lot of, they call it New Age. They mix Christianity with paganism. And they kind of get together and they conquer spirits. They might see somebody familiar, like, that's got to be my uncle. It looks like him. He knows how I feel. He knows and talks like it. We just read in the Bible, careful, they are what? Spirits of demons. So be very careful. I hear lots of story in the Asian country, especially Philippines, Thailand, India, Vietnam, and they have these hallucination of conjured of people that looks like them and everything, and they believe it, and they go to these monks and different temples, and they really hear people who tells them the things that is personal, things that you guys don't know about. You know, if you had like a little mole, like a mole here, they know these things. But I'm telling you, those are not God's spirit. Those are something else. So be careful. Now, we have many loved ones that passed, and some people might see like Mary. You know, a lot of people worship Mary, and they see her like floating and everything. And whatever Mary say, they're gonna believe. But we just know that Satan's gonna deceive many. Because as far as we know, Mary is asleep. She's not in heaven. She's not floating around. And so if some people see that, some people see Mary floating and telling a message to the world. Some of you see Mary on a toast bread. You seen those? That thing sold for $10,000 on eBay or something. I don't know. But Mary, if she appear and she tells you things, you're going to trust the word of Mary, or you're going to trust the word of God? Trust the word of God? Amen. So be careful. Okay. And finally, we're going to close up soon. Question 9. What happens to the righteous dead at the second coming of Christ? In the funeral, when you conduct the funeral, and I've been to many funerals, and we all have some sort of impact in the funeral. And that's the time we really think about this topic. You know, a lot of people, they just don't really think about it. In the Bible, it says, you learn more at funerals than at a party. It's true. You think about life. You think about where you're going to go. And if you go, like, you just die and there's no meaning, then there's no point of living, and it makes no sense. Some atheists, if you know Friedrich Nietzsche, he lived his life and he doesn't know where he was going, and he rejected God, and at the end of his life, he saw his life was pointless. He committed suicide because he saw no point in living. But in the Bible, when at a funeral, we often read a verse. And this verse gives us hope, gives us more hope than many other verses that we can, many kind of persuasion or belief with. This is it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant. So I don't want us to be ignorant, amen? I want us to be thinking. Ignorant means you don't know about it. You didn't think about it. Jesus is saying, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about this topic. Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Many of you falling asleep, it's cool. But let's wake up. We're going to finish. Asleep means death, right? Lest you sorrow as others, see, who have no hope. We have a hope. Yes? We have a hope. Others don't have hope. They go, they die or they reincarnate. They're not sure. They're in a limbo. They're not sure what's going to happen. So they don't really have a hope. But we have a hope. And what is that hope? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if he died and rose again, we will do the same. Amen? Famous verse in the Bible is what? John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We won't perish. We won't go into the grave and just die, but we will have everlasting life. Amen. That's our hope. And it continues. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, second coming, will by no means precede those who are asleep. You notice, sleep, sleep, asleep. Bible is very clear. That's not my words. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, we looking at that second coming, will and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words are comforting, amen? These words are something you would say at a funeral. What else would you say? Well, Tom was good. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I'm sorry, but he was good. There's not really any hope. I'm like, you know, or, whoa. There's not much. I mean, sorry, this Jerry here, he was a bad boy. I'm not sure where he's going to go and stuff like that. He's a loving God. And he doesn't want us to be confused on this topic, amen? He wants us to be knowledgeable. And when we share this with people, it makes a lot of sense and it brings some comfort. Sometimes death, maybe there's a car accident. It's not your fault. It's not their fault. And they die. We don't know what happened. But God will take care of it. And we will see them again, amen? And somebody who passed in your life too early, too young, maybe they did something bad, drugs, or they didn't live their life in a good way, and they perish, or they got shot. I don't know what it is, but God says one day you will see them again. And he will let you know what has happened and how God was trying to help them throughout those times, but they didn't choose him or whatnot. But you will be comforted because God will be near you, amen? And that brings a lot of grief. Easy to deal with your grief. Because if you don't know where your loved one went, you might suffer a few years of depression and grief because you're not sure if they made it. You're not sure they're in purgatory and they're working their way. You're not sure. But God has given us this, and it's most comforting. We know that they're asleep. They're going to be okay. We know for sure. As Seventh-day Adventists, we use the Bible. This is Wikipedia. I searched it up. If you search afterlife, just the word afterlife, you have other religions, you know, Buddhism, reincarnation, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. Now you notice, this is very interesting. They have opinions, or this is what we teach. This is what we teach. Look at the Adventists. This is what we teach, and here's our backup scriptures. Amen? You notice, we use that much scriptures. They use a few. I didn't even use any. And I just want to point that out. If you were looking at that and you're trying to search for religion, trying to search for what makes the most sense, you want something that has a lot of foundation backed up into it, amen? You don't want someone's opinion. You don't want this is our religion. This is what we think. This is what we think. We're going to see what God say, amen? And if you look at it, just search. This is, you know, I searched it on a Thursday night, so it's still new. After life, and you will see that we use the most text. If you want to know more about this topic, you can also go to truthaboutdeath.com. Truthaboutdeath.com. It asks, what is death? Are ghosts real? You know, is there life after death? When and where and how? What's going to happen after we die? So these are things that you can look up if you want to know more of this topic. But I just want to present to you our view on the Bible. What God has told us over and over. And I don't want us to believe what somebody said. I don't want us to believe what a church tradition, a religion say. We want to see what God say. And if you feel it makes the most sense, think about it. Don't just listen, but look into it. Think about it. It makes a lot of sense. When I first know about this, it makes a lot of sense. My grandpa died. I just know he's asleep. I can be sure that he's not going to go to haunt me, or not haunt, but, you know, go to my family at night or something. I'm glad I'd rather have that, you know. God said he will give us hope. Revelation 21:4, it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things has passed away. How many of you feel that this makes a lot of sense and it gives you hope? It gives you hope for your loved ones. Gives us our hope that we can look forward to. We're not afraid of dying. Do what we can for God at this moment, at this life. He gives us this life. And when we die, well, we're asleep. And you know what? Think about it. When you're asleep, you wake up. Did it feel so long? No, it feels like you don't even know how many hours passed by, right? So we're dead, second coming. Let's say those who are sleeping, they just woke up like, hey, you know, you see God. Adam will be resurrected at the same time, you know. Noah and other people in the Bible, Jeremiah and all of them, and even David and Paul and all of them, they will be resurrected because they don't know how long it's been. They're like, what, 2013? No, they don't know about that, right? You're sleeping, next consciousness is Jesus. And that's what we want to look forward to. Let's stand and let's give God thanks for this. And I just challenge that you look into this topic and really think about it. I want us to think, even if we leave here this evening, even though you have, you know, we're going to have fellowship and it's fun, think about it. It makes a lot of sense. And when it comes to this topic in your life and you know somebody who's passing, comfort them with these words. Amen. Be with them and show God that He's in control. He's going to give us hope. And let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your comforting message. It makes a lot of sense. You have been the truth throughout the dark ages. Lord, many people in the world has a persuasion. They've been persuaded by a popular book. They've been persuaded by a movie, a different religion or tradition, Lord, and they've forgotten what you said. What you say is so clear, and it's comforting and makes a lot of sense. So we ask that you teach us more on this topic, and we look forward to seeing you at the second coming. And we want to see you because, Lord, we just want to go home. Amen, everyone? We're tired here. We face sadness. We face death. We face pain. You know, our family is broken. Family, friendships, and a lot of things, Lord. We don't want to continue like that. But, Lord, until you come again, help us to be faithful and strong. And help us to share with others in this comforting truth. We thank you for this evening. We pray that we continue more of these efforts in learning and sharing your gospel. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Everybody would say, amen. Amen. Amen.